We used about 9 sessions previously that we broke down the Song of Songs verse by verse. And through the next few weeks, we will continue to dig out these important truths from the Song of Songs. So the first session, I thought, this bride has a greatest characteristic. What is it? What is the characteristic of the bride? Different from all the other believers is that she has this deep hunger, desire for Christ. Let's look at chapter 1, verse 2 to verse 4. Kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Because of the fragrance of your good ointments, your name is ointment poured forth. Therefore, the virgins love you. Draw me away, we will run after you. The king has brought me into these chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in you. We will remember your love more than wine. This bride has a prayer. What does she pray? Kiss me with the kisses with your mouth. Do you pray like this? Many Christians don't pray like that. Oh, that's too, a little bit too sensual. Oh, just allow me to go to heaven. Oh, just bless me. Give me a wife. But this bride is different. She has a deep hunger. She's not satisfied just have a distant relationship with the Lord. But she said, oh Lord, kiss me with the kisses of your mouth. He wants a deep, intimate relationship with the Lord. Why is this bride so hungry? Let's look at verse 6. Do not look upon me because I am dark, because the sun has tamed me. My mother's sons were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard I have not kept. Why is this bride so hungry? Because she's serving others, but suddenly she realized she had forgotten her own condition, heart condition within her vineyards. She has not kept the vineyard, and so she became unsatisfied. When a person begin to see themselves, they're poor in the spirit, then they'll begin to hunger. If you always see yourself to be great, to be abundant, and then every sermon that you heard the preacher preach, you thought, oh, I already have it. But it's not. Bring those messages into your personal life through prayer and to apply it to your own life, or else those preaching is not yours. It does is not personal to you. In many meetings, people think, oh, because this preacher preached on intercession, I receive intercession's anointing. Oh, this person can prophesy, then therefore I receive a prophetic anointing. But then when you go home, your wife just said something about you and then you were angry. We really have to understand our true poverty of the spirit. Do you see yourself as poor in the spirit? Do you see the lack of your spiritual life? Only then you'll begin to hunger for God. When you see other people have also an abundant relationship with the Lord, then you'll begin to hunger as well. Because this bride heard other people have a deep relationship with the Lord. Therefore, she prayed, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Many Christians can see and hear other people's testimony of deep relationship with God, but it has no effect on them. And they could make light of other people's abundant relationship, and they're not envy of that relationship. And I believe every one of you are in this house right now listening to this message is because you are a bride. You paid a price. You travel afar just to be here in foreigner to receive because you're a bride. You're hungry. We want to have the right response when we see people have a deep relationship. We want to respond. We want that relationship as well. And let's not make assumptions like, oh, because that guy is chosen by God, that guy will be used by God. For me, I just be want a doorkeeper. In heaven, I just want to be a janitor. Do you understand? In heaven, even the Bible says many will be weeping, the gnashing of teeth. Those are Christians. Why? Because when they go up to heaven, they actually see God's glory is so great. It's so many are so close to the Lord, but all they could do is to observe from afar, and they will regret their lives on the earth. They wish that they will pay a greater price. They wish they would just try harder, press in deeper. They wish they would forgive faster, allowing and not allow the darkness to hinder the relationship. You'll greatly regret, and that state will be forever. In Revelation 22, it says, "Let the pure be pure. Continue to be pure." Chapter 22, verse 11, it says, "He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still." One day, when we're in heaven, how do we determine your condition? It really determines on when you died on earth. Whatever your state is when you died, that will be your state, and continue to grow in that state. If you died hungry, you'll continue to be hungry for the Lord. If you have a deep relationship with the Lord, you'll continue in that relationship. But when you don't have the hunger on earth to listen to good sermons, all you love to just have fellowship with people, you don't have a desire to have a personal relationship with the Lord, and you think that's too spiritual, and you don't have an appetite for that, then when you go to heaven, you'll continue in that state, because you don't hunger for Jesus. You don't have that love, that yearning. And that's why it says it's the weeping, the gnashing of teeth, because you have no more chances. This whole life is for us to develop that relationship. This is the only relationship that you want to really pay attention, and that relationship will last forever. You know, even in your husband or the spouse's relationship, that will not continue in the coming age. My relative had a dream pursuing the Lord, and she saw in a dark path so many people are walking towards the cliff in darkness. And then she saw her husband, which is my brother, and there was no emotions, there was no feelings, they just kept walking towards the cliff. Suddenly she awakened frighteningly, and then I told her that this is a dream from God. It's very clear. The meaning of the dream is very clear. And I thank God that they return to the church of life is for us to develop relationship. Let's not too focus on only relationship with people, because those relationships will end. But there's one relationship that will not end. That is the bride and the bridegroom's relationship. You won't have genders anymore, but you will have the bride and the bridegroom. And the bride needs to develop that love, time with him, fellowship with him, so that the heart will be in unison. You can tell at the beginning she is a common girl, but as you progress, you could see her life has become abundant. And one prayer, one glance, she can move God's heart. Bless so many. Why? Because she continues to cry out for the bridegroom to draw me. She cried out, "Come, kiss me with the kisses of your love. I want a close relationship, a deep, intimate relationship with you." This is the greatest characteristic of the bride. When I found the one I love, I held him and would not let him go until I have brought him to the house of my mother. And also verse 2, "I will rise now," I said, "and go about the city and the streets and the squares. I will seek the one I love. I sought him, but I did not find him." You see that at nighttime, obeyed the Lord, so she lost the presence of God. Night represents just a distant relationship with God. She was seeking the Lord on her bed, so she got up. And then she walked around the city, in the streets and the squares, seeking the one she loved. This is the characteristic of the bride. When you lose the presence of God, then you will seek that presence. Even during nighttime is the time of weakness, of the time of tiredness, that you want rest. But she walked around. She really wants the presence of God. This is the characteristic of that bride, of a sister. When she first got filled by the Spirit, she is very conscious to protect that by her obedience to the Lord. One day, something happened to her, and she was sad. She couldn't rejoice. You know when you're depressed, when you have anxiety and pressure God in your life? And so one night she woke up and she started to warfare. She said, Jesus, I want to obey you by rejoicing. I want to drive out all these depression, all these sadness. I have to rejoice. I have to obey your command. And she kept saying and kept saying until the joy began to overflow in her heart. Then she went back to sleep. She really care about God's commands. In the same way, this bride is this in the same way. Every night when she did not feel the presence of God, she would seek. She would go out and she would want God. And then let's go to chapter 5, verse 6. I opened for my beloved, but my beloved had turned away and was gone. My heart leaped when he spoke. I sought him, but could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. Jesus' voice, her heart leaped up, came in the middle of the night, opened up to her, even though it was a difficult season. It was, even though she was walking in disobedience, but the voice of the bridegroom gripped her heart, touched her heart, so that she had to wake up and open the door for the bridegroom. She has to obey. She was so moved by the love of the bridegroom. And then let's look at verse 8 as well. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him, I am lovesick. This bride continually seeking the Lord. And she kept saying, How can I find my beloved? How can I restore the presence of God? And then even the keepers of the walls represent some leaders, elders, ministers of the church. Many people, even though they are in leadership in the church, they don't understand the heart of the bridegroom. They would say, just have faith in God. But this bride is different. She not only just wants faith, she wants the presence of God. She kept seeking until a point. And she asked even the daughters of Jerusalem. Even the daughters of Jerusalem are ones who are far off from the heart of God. But she, have you seen the one that I loved? Please tell him that I am lovesick with the bridegroom. This is the heart of the bride. The reason why she is the bride. The reason why the Lord can works so deeply within her to give her gold and to give her silver within. Bride is hungry. The bride wants God. No matter how difficult the command, she will follow. Therefore, God can give her this beautiful garland and beautiful garment, the feelings of the presence. But when you ask them to take up the cross, to bear the shame, the suffering, any difficult, uncomfortable services, they will walk away. But a true bride will pay any price to obey. They want to obey to the end. The obedience, degree of the obedience depends on the degree of your hunger. And even though it was difficult for the bride, but the desire within her pushes her to obey fully. And sister He Shouwen wrote a hymn, and the hymn goes like this: no matter what, Lord, wait for my response. Because God has given her heart commands, please just wait for my response. Because I will say yes, even at this season I feel weak. But Lord, just wait for me. I will obey you. God has done such a deep work within the sister. Many times you have difficult commands from the Lord. Within your willpower, say to the Lord, Lord, help me. Give me the strength to obey. I have to obey you. You can say that to God. God will give you grace. You know, that young ruler, rich young ruler who walked away, God told him to sell all his possessions. And he said, oh, this is too difficult. This is too hard. Anxiously, he just walked away. But in reality, all he needs to do, He needs to say, God, yes, this is a difficult command, but please help me, Jesus. Then Jesus will give him grace. Testimony in my life when I first became a minister. It was the hardest command of my life, but I knew that I have to obey God. And I told God, God, I'm willing. Please help me. And suddenly from within me, there is a force. Suddenly there's a zeal that's birthed. It's like if I don't quit my job, even though it's a high-paying, good job, happy job, my boss loved me, but I just have a dissatisfaction within the job. I have to quit the job to serve God. Many times God will start working from within you. All the work of the cross, no matter how difficult the cross is, if you have love, then it's not difficult. When you ask a sister to wake up in the middle of the night to do something for you, it must be difficult. But look at this look at this woman. When the woman has a child, when she's single, she could sleep all night, she could sleep like a pig, never wake up. But once you have a child, a baby, every move of the baby will wake up the mother. Love will propels the mother to wake up any time of the world. But when she's single, she's like, oh, I'm so weak, I can't do that. When you have love, nothing's too difficult. Many children, it's easy for them to do night watch. They could wake up any time of the night. Many mothers has a very difficult job because sometimes children will pee during the night. But because of love, you can overcome these difficulties. If we love God, there will be nothing that's too difficult to obey. Nothing that's too difficult for us to serve. And I think this bride has such a deep hunger. And no matter if the path has myrrh, to carry the cross, to be broken, to die to self, the love she has for God, she continues to say, I don't have enough. I got to go to the mountaintop. Because she knows every time she died to herself, the Lord will manifest greater, in a greater way in her life. And every time she purged her of her self-life, she would experience more of God. So she developed a heart to love to die to self. I'm sure many of you have that experience. The psalmist says, how I love to die to self, to lift up the cross, because the cross will produce glory. It is true. If you are persecuted for the sake of God's name, to be persecuted by your spouse, by your father and mother-in-law, or your children, or your bosses, anytime you testify God's goodness and went through persecution, the spirit of his glory will be displayed in your life. Do we have that experience before? I have. Every time we are persecuted and suffer for Christ, treasure those times. This bride did not flee from the cross, from these embarrassments and these sufferings. Why? Because she wanted God. Therefore, God can continue to work through brokenness to help the bride to flee from her natural self. And so more of the divine nature could be forged inside of her. And she could be united to the Lord so deeply. Even her thought life has become God's thoughts. Such union. Why? It's because she started out by hungering desire from the Lord. This is something we need to pray. God, draw me to have this hunger for the Lord all the days of your lives till the day you see Jesus. That is the greatest victory. Look at David's life. David really had touched God's heart. God so delighted in him, even though he sinned greatly before God. Once he repented, God has forgiven him. God not only restored the joy of his salvation, but God continued to reveal God's heart to David. Look at Psalms 63. Let's look at verse 1. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Thirsty land, what do you really thirst? Probably water. Probably ice cream. Of course you want some liquid. think about this. Oh, if you're thirsty and dry, what do you want? You want rest. I want you, God. I long for you. My heart longs for God. I earnestly will I seek you. This is the time when David was in the wilderness of Arabia, and he was being persecuted, and he wrote this psalm. You'll realize within the Psalms, David never wrote, "Oh, how I wish you kill my enemies, kill Saul, stop the chase." You don't hear him say like that. "I wish, quickly make me the king. Fulfill your promise quickly. Let me be the king." You don't see that. And I'm very surprised by David's Psalms. Many years ago, the Lord has promised David to be king. When King Saul is acting foolishly, released David a couple times, Saul's like a mental ill person continually pursuing David, can't reason with him. And normal people would say, "Lord, quickly kill my enemy, quickly kill Saul. Let me be the real king. Saul is not fit." It's reasonable to pray like that. It is the promises of God. But David didn't pray like that. All David was saying is, "God, I long for you. I earnestly want to seek you." We can honestly ask ourselves, what do we truly long for? Do we truly long for God to solve our problems? Or quickly fulfill one of our desires? Oh, quickly give me a son. Give me a wife. Oh, help me quickly graduate and get this degree. Quickly heal my body. Oh, quickly give me a house so I don't have to move around. Oh, quickly give me more money. Oh, I so wish that I have a car, Lord. We could ask ourselves, what do we truly long for? Or do we truly long for himself? For a person who's truly longing for God himself, he's a wise man. You know why? Because when you have Christ, when you receive him, he says he will not reserve any benefits to those who love him. So you need to love God. When you receive him, when you love him, you have him, you have everything else. Just like a little child. It's like this child says, "Oh, daddy, please give me money. Oh, please give me toys." And there's another child says, "Daddy, just give me you." This child is the smartest. He has win the heart of the father. And so when we face difficulties, what are we truly longing for? There's a sister within our midst. She struggled with insomnia for 10 plus years, and recently the Lord had healed her, and she slept so well. She can't even wake up. And I told the sister, "Oh, maybe the Lord wants to restore all the sleep that you've lost over the years." And after a while, she said, "Continue to sleep, sleep, sleep." She began to lack that hunger for the Lord, and then she started to pray to God. She said, "Lord, I'm willing to struggle with insomnia a bit so that I can spend more time with you." And I'm really touched by that prayer because, you know, she was struggling when she had insomnia. 10 plus years, she couldn't even sleep. But now she's healed. But she said, "I'd rather struggle with insomnia and not sleep and lose my hunger for the Lord." I know this prayer really touched the heart of God. Unfortunately, you see many Christians, all they want is gifts from God, material things. What they want is you pray for them and they be healed and hallelujah, and then they will continue to live their own life. They don't respond in a way that they will sacrifice their whole lives to God. Once they found a job, They're not thankful enough to give everything. When they receive their spouse, what happened? So they happily lived ever after? No, that's impossible. And when you have other gods replacing Yahweh, then your pain will increase. Many people are seeking to have children, and finally the Lord has given them a child, and that child becomes their precious treasure. But once they had the child, they also gave their hearts to the child and not to God.
they're not like Hannah.
They rededicated the child to God. Hannah is smartest. She gave God back the child. And then the Lord gave more children to Hannah. She's the smartest. Brothers and sisters, we must be smarter. Like the bride. Like David, who became a Christian in our church. And he was pursuing for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he's hungry. And so many people have received tongues and the Holy Spirit. But he didn't receive. And every night he was kneeling before the presence of God, before his bed. And he's like, God, fill me when I fall asleep. And every day he just continued to press in, hungrily seeking after God. Suddenly one day he was filled by the presence of God greatly. He experienced God's glory abundantly. And he was so enjoying the presence of God. And then every day, every meeting becomes so glorious. But after a while, time passes. And he becomes very conscious of the presence of God. Easily he can feel the presence of God. And suddenly he loses that sobriety before God. And that strong desire wanting to seek God's presence. And doesn't matter what meeting it is, doesn't matter what condition he's in, because his spirit is open, he can easily feel God's presence. But in his daily life, he wasn't as consciously seeking the Lord. And we could see how wicked the flesh is. But I praise God for this brother. He's truly a bride. Realize this condition. He stopped carefully seeking the Lord, carefully listening to the voice of the Spirit, serving God with fear and trembling. And then he repented before God and he prayed, Lord, I rather give up the feelings of your presence, but Lord, please do not take away my hunger for you. This is a true bride. God, I want to be filled by you. But many times we're actually seeking a feeling or an experience. Once we have that experience, we stopped. Oh, I got tongues. And so I no longer have to be ashamed. And we see these things as satisfaction. Instead of continually pursuing God himself, God so abundantly be with him. And he said, God, I don't just want feelings, I want you. God, I don't just want feelings, God, I want you. And then the Lord fills him again, gives him more of his presence. Lord, let me love you. Lord, purge my heart so that my heart will seek you solely. It's easy to be complicated, to have duplicity in our lives, wanting him and something else. And so we begin to boast about the other benefits the Lord has given us. You know, just like this hymn that says the bride has this characteristic. The bride is not only seeking the blessings, the beautiful gown, but the bride is seeking for the bridegroom. Some brides could be distracted by the gifts up from the bridegroom and distracted from the bridegroom himself. And many brides are like that. They're mesmerized by the diamonds. They're mesmerized by the gifts. And at the beginning, she was attracted to the bridegroom. But after all these extravagant gifts, then they got distracted. Many Christians are like that. I love the Psalms. And this author, the psalmist, has such a deep experience with the love of God. If you don't have conviction by the light of God, you will never experience what is written from the Psalms. And you will begin to boast, oh, God has given me such a great gift. I can prophesy and people's needs can be met. Oh, I prayed and then someone will fall on the ground. Oh, I prayed and demons will go. And then we became satisfied with the outward things, but we neglected the bridegroom. We begin to appreciate people's praises. We got lost, and instead of being satisfied by the Lord himself, even within some meetings, when God raised up many different vessels with different giftings, and we begin to satisfied with meetings, but rather to love the bridegroom. What are we focusing on? On the vessels or on the bridegroom? Prophet, he raises his hand. And many people fell to the ground. But you don't understand that the bridegroom is inside of you. Are you drawing him? Are you seeking him? Are you gazing upon him? You want to be a wise virgin. Go home. You feel empty on the inside. Beautiful light upon his face. The bride is not thankful for the prize of the bridegroom, but the bride is thankful for the nail-pierced hands. What are you focusing on? Are you focusing on the gifts or on the hole within Jesus' hands? And I feel that all these meetings are like a communion, a time of communion with the Lord. His presence are increasing among us. We are so thankful for the sacrifice of Christ, Jesus dying for us. And every meeting is like drinking and feasting and remembering what Jesus has done on the cross. The most precious part is that the Lamb of God, his presence is filling within our hearts. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you to examine your hearts. What is the condition of your heart recently? Are you satisfied with the meetings? Are you satisfied with your gifts? Maybe you could sing some spiritual songs and you have some anointing to touch people, sing, or your prayers are powerful. Let's never be satisfied with these things. I've been filled by the spirit of joy. Oh, I can dance in the spirit. Never be satisfied with these hour manifestations. But you want to check inwardly. Are you growing in hunger for the Lord? That is a true growth of a spiritual life. The sign of a true growth is that inside of you, that hunger is growing. Just like a little baby, when he's growing. Originally, he can only take maybe 50, drink a couple ounces, 4 ounces of milk. And then the baby could never stay at the same hunger level. At some point, he has to finish the whole bottle of milk. It's not enough. And then he started to eat solid food. And then he continued to grow to eat more types of food. And if we continue to grow in that hunger for the Lord, that we should not be satisfied just half an hour of devotion with the Lord. When I was in high school, every day I spent 20 to 30 minutes of devotion. But when I grow older, my devotions grow longer as well. And that's important. Never be satisfied by, every day I have devotion. Every day I have meetings. Never be satisfied by going to conferences or going to meetings. The question you should ask yourself, meetings, you're just listening to sermons. But after the meetings, do you have a deeper hunger to a point that you don't want to spend time with nobody? You just want to be with the Lord. After a meeting, it's not about what information you retain, but about, God, I want to be with you more. I want to talk with you more. I want to be in your bosom. But many times that after the meeting, we come out from it, we continue to make jokes. We could pray so deeply spiritually, but when we come out from the meeting, the words that we say, the actions that we do, makes you question that whether the person has truly encountered the Lord. Once you've encountered the Lord, there will be a holy anointing and a holy desire growing within your life. And I know we have many people like that within us. I challenge us to examine our hearts oftenly. What is our greatest desire? Is our desires to hear more of God's, from God's pulpit? Or I just want to be with the Lord more? You know, I know many people that been with us for a while, they don't really care about who's preaching. All they care about is the presence. And some of them are English speakers and they don't even understand Mandarin. And all they care about, they're soaked in the presence of God. Don't matter if they understand the preaching or not. Because Jesus is in their midst. Greater level of God's presence. A few days ago, I received a phone call from a sister. And the sister said she came to our midst twice. Two meetings. She's experiencing a supernatural hunger that every day she can't wait to be with the Lord. But in the past, she was only satisfied by the tape series, by listening to sermons. But now, she is not satisfied just by listening. One day, she said, at a new time, noontime, she saw Jesus walked in before her. She came into her, and she couldn't stop smiling. Her colleagues were surprised by her countenance. A bride should not have a sad face. No matter what you're going through, what kind of cross you're bearing, inside of you should have a satisfying joy. The more bright-like you become, the easier your life will become. And I believe that these meetings, God will continue to create a greater desire within you. And if you're not growing that desire, you need to ask the Lord, what is hindering me? Is there any darkness inside? Or perhaps some fleshly things? And many times you feel like crying. You feel there's a desire from the spirit, from the inside, whether it's laughing or shouting, praising God. But through your flesh, you suppress that. God wants us to be an open vessel, a open channel for the Spirit to flow through. You see, the bride in the final chapters, the rivers of God are flowing through this bride without hindrance. We want to pay attention if we're growing in the desire of God or not. Sometimes we only want to hang out with people, talk with people, fellowship with people. But sometimes that will decrease our hunger for the Lord. Apostle Hyde, the praying apostle, is truly a bride. Someone asked Hyde this question. Yeah, he asked him, why do you not marry? And if you have a sister, she could take care of your life and do many things for you. And he said many years ago, give one thing to the Lord who loves me so deeply. And I just kept thinking, what should I sacrifice to the Lord? What should I give to Him? And I said, I will give myself to the Lord. And I said to the Lord, Lord, I will not let anyone to share this romance that I have for you. All of these love is completely for you. And I want to be wholly yours. And so he did that to the Lord. And he hold on to her celibacy to the Lord. And she developed such an intimate to hinder his relationship with God. One time he was living in someone's house, and when the family of God came, and they started a fellowship, and they feast together, and then Hyde was being humorous, and he shared many of his prayer experiences. It was a holy time. It was a joyful time with the saints. But at the same time, he was very conscious of the Lord's direction. The master says, at the table, many times Hyde would disappear. And he realized Hyde would actually hide out somewhere to pray with the Lord, to spend time with the Lord. And this is something that he really paid attention to. And I want to encourage you to do the same. If you truly want to be that bride of Christ, many times you need to be separated from the crowd to have solitude with the Lord. According to my own example, my own experience, difficulties and circumstances, in those pressing moments, I lack time and sleep, but I still draw time with the Lord. I realize His presence is greater and stronger. Many times it's not about how much time you spend, but the effort you put in. God is watching. And many times you just want to sneak away to have these moments with the Lord. And God really treasure those moments with you. And I have a testimony of a family member in Taiwan. Obey the Lord. You want to, besides devotional time, you want to set apart some moments to be with the Lord, to fellowship with the Lord, to draw near to God. Being smart, he used the time right after dinner, while at the culture of the campus, people are going, usually after dinner, they would have fellowship time with students and to many different people. They will talk, They would have social time. But this person took that time and he found a corner on campus to have solitude with the Lord, to have 1 hour just to talk with the Lord, no matter sunshine or rain, and he would have that date with the Lord. Even the time when he was sick, he had fever, and I call that time as the afternoon romance with the Lord. And this brother, and you've noticed that they were improving acceleratedly in their walk with the Lord, and you can tell that they have spent time with the Lord. You will know that they're not fluctuating in their walk with the Lord. It was a very steady growth. And then later on, he went to fulfill his military duty. And during the time of his service, Terry, that he had no time to worship, no time to read the word. But however, the only time he has with the Lord was during sleep time. But when he lay his head on his bed, and every night, the Lord was there. His presence was there. Pray, and then he began to pray for people. And I realized throughout my pastoral career, I see many people leave the Lord during the military service time, just because of they were overwhelmed by the schedule, and they have no time with the Lord. And it is a very difficult time for Christians. You have no time to have devotion with the Lord. You have no time, no personal time. And many people, their spiritual life went bankrupt. Brother had an opposite story because he had spent the extra time to build that relationship. So you understand that this bride in the Song of Songs, at the beginning, he was pursuing the Lord, but later on, you can tell that it was the Lord pursuing the bride. When the Lord have one bride, it is a very precious thing. And once again, the greatest characteristic of the bride, or the formation of the bride, is the hunger. So this is the prayer we ought to pray. Lord, Lord, greatly draw me close to you. And even my pastor encouraged all of us to say, increase my hunger for you. And then make it a habit every single day to pray this prayer. The more you pray, the more you will hunger for the Lord. My pastor's Pastor Rome is so close to the Lord that her secretary can testify that he was so attached to the Lord. It's such a beautiful testimony. And by the time when she was 80 plus years old, her relationship just go deeper and deeper. But it's not true to many people when they grow old. King of the universe, of heaven and earth. And this king wants to have this love relationship with you, to grow as you grow old. He wants that love to be deepened, that fire to grow inside of you as you grow older. This should be our testimony, and this should be our prayer in our daily lives. From this moment forth, I encourage you to pray this. Lord, please draw me. I beg you to draw me close to you and increase my desire for you. Kiss me with the kisses of your mouth. When I was in Los Angeles, we have a brother, and he has no solid, firm spiritual foundation. And he was saved in Taiwan, and then quickly he moved to the States. And when he first came to our meetings, and at the time, he's also one of my coworkers, because at the very beginning of our church, and one of the weaknesses of this brother is that he loves to sleep a lot, and sometimes I have to call to wake him up to attend the meetings. But after he heard this sermon, I love this about him. Every time at the meeting, he would pray, Lord, kiss me with the kisses of your mouth. And the Lord really listened to his prayer. And then suddenly the Lord developed a sober spirit within him. And this brother has this grace to wake up at 4 or 5 a.m. in the morning to join the 6 a.m. meeting without me having to remind him to call him. So I want to let you know that if you make this your daily prayer, the Lord will listen to you. You tell him that you don't want to be at a distance. You want to be close to him. You want to kiss him with the kiss of your mouth. Lord, draw me. Give me greater desire. Beautiful feeling to be close to him and let this fire continue to develop inside of you. And it just like falling in love once again. It's even better than the earthly romance is summoning, calling you. Are you willing to respond to his call? Tell him, Lord, come, give me this hunger. And I challenge you tonight to say, Lord, set this fire in me tonight.